What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
All right, everybody, the Middle East is Strait of Hormuz is closed, and who better to help us break it all down than Larry Johnson. Larry, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
All right, Larry, a lot to talk about today. Is the CIA controlling the narrative, false flag, or is there a real threat? Can Trump reopen this strait? And is this all a war just for fun? So I want to start off by talking to you about the CIA. And this is what Tucker Carlson said in a recent video he posted.
So the other day I found out that the CIA is preparing some kind of criminal referral against me, a crime report, to the Department of Justice on the basis of a supposed crime I committed. What's that crime? Well, talking to people in Iran before the war. They read my texts. So the crime under consideration apparently would be the Foreign Agent Act or something like that, acting as an agent of a foreign power. And I don't expect this to go anywhere. I'm not too worried about an actual criminal case against me for a bunch of reasons. One, I'm not an agent of a foreign power. Unlike a lot of people commenting on U.S. politics and global affairs, I have only one loyalty, and that's the United States, and have never acted against it. Its interests are the only interests I care about because I'm from here and I have a lot of kids. So that's not a concern. I've also never taken money from anybody. Don't need it, don't want it. And that's provable. And moreover, it's my job to talk to everybody all the time and try and figure out what's happening around the world. That's literally what I do for a living. And I'm not going to stop doing that. Nor should I don't think. I'm also an American. I can talk to anybody. I have no secrets to divulge.
So, Larry, I've seen a lot of people express skepticism about Tucker Carlson's claim here that the CIA wouldn't do that. I know you spent some time there. So what do you think? Could the CIA be attempting to control the narrative when it comes to Iran by at least threatening and intimidating people who are against this war?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Only because John Ratcliffe is there as director. Ratcliffe is a hardcore Zionist, Is he on the pay of the Israelis? I think so, in my opinion. But I can't prove that. But, Tucker's not one to go out and report something like that unless he's received some pretty credible information that that is, in fact, what they're pursuing or thinking about pursuing. But as he said, he's not a foreign agent. He's just saying and speaking up on some areas of policy, particularly with respect to the blind support of Israel, that is coming out of the Trump administration that is endangering and jeopardizing America's own national security.
Now, would this be something that the CIA should really even be looking into? I mean, since when is kind of investigating an American journalist the CIA's role? I mean, maybe the FBI, but yeah, it no, seems like...
Yeah, you're yeah. right. Yeah, you're right. No, CIA shouldn't be anywhere near this. Their job is to collect foreign intelligence. Their job is to recruit foreigners who will spy for us, basically betray their own countries. And when it comes to counterintelligence issues, as far as somebody working for a foreign government, that's the purview of the FBI. That's the responsibility of the FBI to investigate and collect that kind of evidence. Now, this is, I was really outraged when I heard that. It's if true, it's one further piece of evidence that Donald Trump is not about America first. He's not about America, making America great again. He's about making America into Nazi Germany. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and I'm worried that we're going to see a massive crackdown on free speech. Donald Trump then put out this post on Truth Social where he wrote, "Iran has long been known as a master of media manipulation and public relations." And he says, "Fake news has been reported." And he said, "The story was knowingly fake in a certain way. You could say that those media outlets that generated it should be brought up on charges for treason." So do you think that Donald Trump will attempt to control the narrative in the U.S. as public opinion builds against his war by charging journalists for treason for reporting what's going on in the Middle East, and that this war might not be going as well as the Department of War video game, parody video show?
Well, the only one that's lying is Donald Trump and his administration. They've lied about the 5 aircraft that were destroyed on the ground in Saudi Arabia. They've lied about the fact that Iran is 100% defeated. Oh, my God, there's nothing that we've won. So if that's the case, why is the Strait of Hormuz still closed? Why is Iran continuing to hit U.S. bases in the Persian Gulf and Israeli targets with missile waves 3 to 4 times a day and doing it every day for the last 16 days, 17 days. So this is just one more example of Trump and his lying to the American people. And it's unfortunate because we deserve a president that tells the truth, that doesn't lie.
Yeah, and so Larry, while we're talking about the CIA and intelligence, I was on Judging Freedom earlier today with Judge Napolitano, mm-hmm. and he brought up something that you had told him, I guess, earlier in the day about a high-ranking Iranian general who was working for Mossad and may have been a part of the catalyst for why Israel and the U.S. thought they could pull off a successful regime change. So I'm just wondering what the details of this are.
Well, it came out of Iran. Ismail Khani was the head of the IRGC, and he suddenly disappeared from sight, and then the explanation came out. There was a video, I posted it at Sonar 21, called Mole Hunt, and I'm inclined to believe that it's true, that at some point in the past, Khani was recruited and agreed to work for Mossad, and provided Mossad critical intelligence, such as the location of the Hamas senior negotiator, Haniyeh, the location of the meeting of the top officials in the Ministry of Defense and the IRGC last June 13th, so that they could be attacked, the location of the meeting that took place on the 28th of February. The meeting for Hassan Nasrallah back on, I think it was January 3rd of 2024. So in all of these cases, he was the guy there that leaves the meeting early and then the place gets blown up. I think part of the optimism that the United States and Israel had early on at the start of this unanswered aggression, unjustified invasion of Iran or attack on Iran, was that they believed that someone of Khani's stature would eventually rise up and lead a revolt and provide an overthrow of the Islamic Republic and the mullahs that govern it. That turned out to not be true. It failed. And as a result, the United States has now got itself and Israel embroiled in a war that they cannot win.
And ideally, Larry, the role of the CIA would be to realize that this man might not understand all the dynamics here and advise the president that, hey, this source may not be as reliable as he says he is or be as knowledgeable as he says he is. And so, it would be a real intelligence failure on behalf of the CIA if this actually did play into Trump's decision making.
Well, yes, you've got to understand there are really sort of two different aspects to CIA. This part we're talking about operational issues. Was he a reliable source or not? I think actually he was a reliable source. He just got discovered and was executed as a result. But then you also have the analytical side. And particularly we've had a leak within the last 8 days, 9 days, from the National Intelligence Council saying that they had warned President Trump on a week before he started the war that the objectives the United States hoped to achieve would not be achieved, particularly with respect to regime change. We also then, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal again leaked that Trump had been briefed and warned that the Iranians could shut the Strait of Hormuz. So the analyst side of the house is to give president information. And in both cases, Trump apparently rejected the information. Of course, we see that before. I mean, there's the video of him when he's on Air Force One, and a reporter's asking about, well, why do you claim that Iran is building a nuclear bomb when your own director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, just said recently, and this was, you know, a year ago, that Iran doesn't and is not. And Trump says, I don't listen to her. I don't believe her. Okay. So that's right. This is all on Trump, his arrogance, his hubris. And now it's going to, I think it'll end up destroying his presidency.
Absolutely. I do want to play this clip of Donald Trump talking about potential Iranian attacks in the U.S.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Have you been briefed about how many Iran sleeper cells there could be inside the U.S. right now?
I have been, and a lot of people came in through Biden with this stupid open border. But we know where most of them are. We've got our eye on all of them, I think.
Is it dozens?
They came in through the open border policies of sleepy Joe Biden, one of the worst president in the history of our country. And we've got our eyes on all of them. But the war itself is being prosecuted at a level that nobody's seen before.
So, Larry, there's a lot of talk of, could this be a signal for a potential false flag to rally Americans around an unpopular war? Or could Iran really try to attack the United States? And I know the immediate thought is, you know, they're Muslim, so we would see some sort of ISIS-style terror attack. But I'm a little bit more concerned Iran would try something that we've seen play out in Ukraine, like Operation Spiderweb, finding some way to smuggle drones or bombs into the country and trying to attack critical infrastructure. Certainly asymmetric-style attacks, but not necessarily the same kind of suicide bomber or bring a gun to a festival terrorism that we've seen from the Islamic State. So what do you make of this?
I think it's silly. It's ridiculous. It's, you know, this has been trotted out time after time. Okay, let's go back to 9/11. Let's go back actually to 1982. Since 1982, so we're looking at 44 years ago, how many terrorist attacks have been carried out in the United States by Israel? I mean, by Iran? The answer is none. Zero. If these sleeper cells were in place, well, you know, Iran was attacked last June. Were they activated? No. If such sleeper cells existed, the question would be, why would they attack the United States now when they're winning? They're winning in the middle, in the Persian Gulf. They have basically forced the United States to abandon its military bases in Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Iraq, lesser extent, United Arab Emirates. There's not that many bases there. Why do they need to take a provocative action to kill civilians in the United States when their focus has been on killing the military? Because they understand how those attacks blow back on you, that they energize the United States for wanting to go attack Iran, not send the energy the other direction. So, no, I think it's completely ludicrous. They're not going to do, they don't need to. Like I said, they're winning on the ground right now. They are defeating the United States in the war in the Persian Gulf.
That's a very fair point, because, you know, again, my concern wasn't primarily the, again, ISIS-style terrorism we've seen, just Iran looking at what Ukraine has been able to do with asymmetric warfare and then, say, finding a way to cause a major explosion at a port or launching some drones at some Raytheon facility in the United States that's producing Patriot missiles. You know, maybe kind of soft targets that aren't necessarily directly civilian targets or could be tied to the military. But again, you mentioned it, rally around this place of effect.
Well, and let's draw the distinction between the ISIS terrorists, the Al-Qaeda terrorists. Again, they come, these are Sunni extremists. Now, the Shia Muslims refer to them as non-Islamic terrorists, because they argue that if they were true believers of Islam, followers of Islam, they would not engage in these kinds of attacks. But we did have the two guys the other day up in New York City that were throwing bombs, and you know, they were connected with ISIS. ISIS, again, has been the enemy of Iran. ISIS has attacked Iranian forces. So, you know, there's the ISIS is not in any way under the control of Iran, whereas there is ample evidence that the United States has supplied weapons, training, support, financial support to ISIS, despite also claiming to be fighting ISIS. And the latest example of that is this current president, so-called president of Syria, Al-Shara. You know, he was a bona fide head chopper, started with ISIS. He got in, helped start al-Nusra, and then formed his own outfit called Hayat Tahrir al-Sham.
Yes, and, you know, Larry, I don't know if you've seen reports, but they're, I guess, trying to encourage or maybe think about using the al-Jolani's, I guess, now their Syrian army forces against Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so that would effectively, in as this war expands throughout the Middle East, put al-Qaeda on the side of U.S. and Israel against the Iranian Hezbollah alliance. So, yeah. It's crazy. It seems like they want to do, I know Hillary Clinton originally referred to Syria as the bank shot off of Libya. Now Lebanon's going to be the bank shot off of Syria as they just remove the jihadist shop forces around the Middle East to terrorize the people they hate.
Right. Yeah.
So I want to ask you about the Strait of Hormuz. It seems, you know, closed, I guess, is the wrong word, because Iran is allowing select traffic through the Strait. Donald Trump says he has a solution for this. It's an international coalition. And he says many countries are more dependent on oil going through the Strait of Hormuz than the United States is. And he's calling on China, France, Japan, South Korea, the UK, and others to get involved. He says if NATO doesn't get involved, it means a very bad future for the alliance. Larry, does Trump have the geopolitical capability to rally an international force, including China, Germany, France, the UK, to open up the Strait of Hormuz?
Trump's at the stage where he couldn't line up a three-car funeral if you put the first two cars in line for him. Let's start with the fact that he claims Iran is defeated, 100%. Wiped out their Navy, wiped out their Air Force, wiped out their ground force, nothing left. So why do you need an international coalition to open the straits when you've defeated Iran? Which is it? Either you've defeated them or you haven't. Well, you know, the reality is he hasn't even, you know, hasn't defeated them at all. He's killed a number of, you know, probably 2,000 Iranians through bombs, but they've not done any significant damage to Iran's capability to fire missiles and keep the ships from passing through the Strait of Hormuz. So it's just, you know, it's more delusional nonsense on his part.
So what happens if the U.S. can't open up the Strait of Hormuz? Where does Trump go from there? Because this, you know, it seems like kind of a time bomb, right? Like Trump thinks that I guess he has a few weeks where he could pressure allies and the U.S. could release oil from the strategic reserves and they could keep the price of oil around $100 a barrel. They'll lift some sanctions on Russia. Maybe they'll try to rush some oil out of Venezuela in an effort to make up for what isn't going through the Strait of Hormuz. But obviously, those are all temporary measures that are a band-aid to a massive, massive wound. So what is Donald Trump's next step? How does he plan to resolve this issue?
Even if Trump could get Iran to say, okay, we're going to allow all oil, all liquid natural gas, and all fertilizer to flow uninterrupted, unimpeded, through the strait to wherever they go in the world, the damage is already done to the international markets. The supply chains are disrupted. You're going to see continued rising price of gas for at least another 3 weeks. And that's just if it stopped today. Well, it's not going to stop today. And the economic effects, the impacts of this are going to grow worse with each passing week. And I believe strongly that this could go on for 24 weeks, not just now we're in week three. Well, definitely it'll still be going in week four. And, you know, the United States can end it at any time if it makes the concessions that Iran's going to demand. And those concessions are not out of the realm of reality, but Iran wants reparations for the damage done to its infrastructure. It wants to get all U.S. bases removed from the Middle East, from the Persian Gulf, and it wants sanctions lifted, the economic sanctions. And I fully suspect that Iran's going to insist on that, those changes have to be made before it releases and allows uninterrupted flow from the Persian Gulf. And the Houthis have now indicated that they are going to come in on the side of Iran and they're going to close Mandad al-Bab, the narrow opening at the southern end of the Red Sea that takes you into the Indian Ocean, Arabian Ocean, or Arabian Sea. So if that happens, again, it's going to dramatic disruption of international maritime traffic. This means it has a recessionary effect. It affects the supply of a whole variety of goods, not just the oil, the liquid natural gas, the fertilizer that's been cut off out of the Persian Gulf as a mm-hmm. result of this. You know, I didn't realize it until I started researching it last week. That's 35% of the world's fertilizer. That means the planting that's taking place right now in the spring in the Northern Hemisphere, which has about 75% of the arable land in the world, that territory land is not going to be producing food in 7 months. So what do you do in 7 months? That means there's going to be a food shortage. You know, potentials, there'll be hunger. I don't know if it'll reach starvation level or not. It'll certainly, though, damage the supply chain. So that's, you know, that's one other effect that even if it stops today, it's still going to, you know, that effect is still going to be felt. So it is what the Houthis have done is surprised the Trump administration and acquired enormous leverage in the negotiations going forward.
Absolutely. So, Larry, one of the kind of crazy things that's happened is Donald Trump a few times has called this war fun. So, Chris, can we play shot number three?
Together with our Israeli partners, we're crushing the enemy in an overwhelming display of technical skill and military force. Iran's drone and missile capability is being utterly demolished. The Navy is gone. It's all lying at the bottom of the ocean. 46 ships. Can you believe it? In fact, I got a little upset with our people. I said, what quality of ship? Excellent, sir. top of the line. I said, why did we just capture the ship? We could have used it. Why did we sink them? He said, it's more fun to sink them. I said, that's a... They like sinking them better. They say it's safer to sink them. I guess it's probably true.
So he said that, and then he followed up by telling an NBC News broadcaster that the U.S. may bomb Karg Island again just for fun. So what is it about Donald Trump saying this war is fun? Is that why we're at war right now? Because Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth like blowing things up?
I don't mean to call names, but this kind of childish, immature behavior raises questions about his mental competence. It's fun killing people. That's what he's saying. Taking human life that, you know, ostensibly conservatives value human life, which is one of the reasons they are staunch opponents of abortion. That life is considered a gift from God and something to be cherished. And here's Donald Trump bragging about killing people and saying it's fun. That, you know, this is shameful. And very well, if you know, you get a Democrat elected in 2028 and he does not allow, he reverses or refuses to protect Trump against the International Criminal Court, Trump could very well find himself being arrested and convicted in that court and, you know, with no forgiveness out of that. It really is. I mean, it's shocking that he would say such a thing. But, you know, it's no surprise. You find similar obscene comments like that from Pete Hegseth, the so-called Secretary of War.
Yeah, he's seems to be a real monster. I kind of waffle between him being just a really dumb man and the Antichrist, and I can't decide which one I think is more likely. So, Larry, before I let you go, I really want to know where this war is headed up the escalation ladder. It seems the U.S. and Israel are in some trouble. They're running out of interceptors. The U.S. is moving additional manpower into the region, a Marine Expeditionary Unit of 2,500 yeah. troops on the USS Tripoli. I mean, to me, a ground invasion seems unbelievably stupid. Like, they couldn't possibly think it would be a good idea to put our boys and girls over there on Iranian soil and make them targets.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Axios is reporting U.S. officials are saying Donald Trump is preparing for an invasion of Karg Island to secure the oil infrastructure on the Iranian territory. And then from there, I only imagine the invasion expanding. I mean, is it even conceivable for the United States to have a ground invasion of Iran?
I guess it is conceivable that someone like Donald Trump could order the Pentagon to carry out a suicidal order, and that someone like Pete Hegseth would happily salute and carry it out. Whether or not the other officers in the chain of command will agree to go along with that, what it would be a suicide mission for U.S. troops, is a whole nother thing. I would hope at least one would stand up and say, no, I will not carry out. This is not a lawful order. Let's start with, how do you get the Marines to Karg Island? So the MEU, as it's called, the Marine Expeditionary Unit, is on board ships, and the way they deploy is they deploy off of a landing craft. They do an amphibious landing, and they walk off these airboats to get, supposed to get into shore. How do those ships carrying those boats get through the Strait of Hormuz without being shot? They don't. So the odds that these ships could reach Karg Island and deploy and actually be used for military operations, I think, is in the realm of impossibility.
Well, I definitely agree with your assessment there. And my concern is that if ground forces aren't the solution to this war as America and Israel go up the escalation ladder, then it seems like the only two options are losing or using nuclear weapons. You know, I think both acknowledge that Trump to some level is unhinged and maybe not in his right mind. Netanyahu is a homicidal lunatic who has killed hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza over the last 2 years and obviously doesn't have an objection to mass killing. Are you concerned about the use of nuclear weapons?
Yeah, no, it is a legitimate concern that Israel will find itself in an existential crisis, recognizing that they've lost the war and that, you know, Hezbollah troops could be moving down from Lebanon, capturing Israeli territory, and as Iran would continue to degrade Israeli military and aviation capabilities. So, yeah, I could see that developing, where Israel would be tempted to use a nuke against Iran. The problem they've got is, again, the size of Iran. It would do damage, but it would not destroy Iran. And Iran, in turn, would be, I think, have enough conventional force to actually destroy Israel. So it would be a terrible thing. And you can't, I haven't even included the calculation of how Russia and China and Afghanistan, Pakistan would react.
And no possibility Trump does?
No, I don't think so, because I think the danger of getting into that kind of war with Russia and China will be too great.
I certainly hope so. Larry, thank you so much for coming back on the show today and helping us break all of this down. The chat is very excited that you're here. We have, I think, a lot of viewers from being on Judging Freedom earlier today. So if you are new to the show, be sure you like, subscribe, and share the channel. And, of course, check out all of Larry's work. He's not just on the Kyle Anzalone Show and Judging Freedom. You're all over the place on YouTube every day. And of course, Sonar 21, invaluable insights, new posts I'm multiple times a week. Really great stuff to help you understand what's going on in the world. So thank you, Larry.
Hey, you're most welcome, Kyle. Thanks for the invite.